Hi, I'm Harry Thompson, editor of USA Hockey Magazine, and you're listening to the USA Hockey Magazine podcast. Hi, and welcome to another USA Hockey Magazine podcast. I'm Harry Thompson, editor of USA Hockey Magazine. This is the best week of the year at USA Hockey. This is the USA Hockey National Championships week. Actually, it started last week with the high school nationals, but we're going to kick it off in full gear this week. We're lucky enough to be joined by Kevin McLaughlin, Senior Director of Hockey Development at USA Hockey, and the guy who kind of oversees the drives the engine of nationals and everything to do with youth hockey. So, Kevin, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks, Harry. Great to be here.
Good deal. Hey, Kevin, like I said, best week of the year at USA Hockey. This is our marquee event, Youth Hockey National Championships. It's what we're really all about. Can you just talk a little bit about it? It must be a massive undertaking to put this on around the country.
It is. It's a huge undertaking, and most of which is the heavy lifting and the labor done by extensive group of volunteers in multiple cities across the country. We've got over 350 teams participating this week that have all qualified through state and regional district tournaments to advance to the national championship. The host has been working on this for over 2 years, from the bid process to participating in conference calls the year preceding their hosting of the event, so that they can learn from people that host the year prior, and then they've really rolled up their sleeves and been working diligently for the last 12 months, really dotting the I's, crossing the T's, so that they can provide the best hockey experience ever for these young players that have the opportunity to represent their club and represent their state and their district of the United States, and kind of showcase what kind of hockey is being played back home in their areas.
Well, that's amazing that so much detail goes into hosting this event. So you mean like already there are the people who are going to host next year's events are already kind of...
Yep, they've been sitting in on our conference calls, learning from this year's host, so that when they have to put together their hotel committees, their website committees, their stats and standings, their host, all the people that are behind the scenes that really don't get the credit for making these things run so smoothly. You know, when at our Tier 1 event in Buffalo, for instance, you have 48 teams rolling into town, and, you know, these are well-organized teams that, they're used to traveling, they're used to things running smoothly, running in these events. The host is, their goal is always to put on the best event for these players, so that when they show up in town, all they have to worry about is playing hockey. And they can put their best foot forward to showcase what kind of skill and what kind of team that they have.
So some of these hosts have done it before. So it must be good to work with some of these people who they've been through it. They probably at the end of an event they probably catch their breath and then they sit back and say, what can we do better next time?
Absolutely. These hosts this year, we're very, very lucky to have such an experienced group of hosts. I think every one of these sites has hosted a nationals before. They have great facilities, they have great network of volunteers, they understand the benefit of hosting to their local community, in their local businesses, but also people in their community, hockey people, have the opportunity to come out and watch the best hockey teams in the country for those particular age groups. So it's a benefit to the local hockey community, it's a benefit to the businesses, it's a benefit to the association to host these things, but the bigger benefit is from our players, our parents, our coaches that do advance to this, to have such experienced host, that it's such a well-oiled system and well-oiled operation at these hosts that, it's led by Norm Spiegel, our national tournament chairperson, and these host volunteer organizations. That fantastic opportunity for these young players.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt. You know, you mentioned Norm Spiegel, and I was going to say, anytime you single out any individual, you're always going to leave people out with such a massive undertaking as this. But the couple people that I wanted to at least, I think what Norm does and what in your office, what you and Ken Roush and Jody Penn do, it seems like it's a great teamwork between not only the people at USA Hockey, but also, like you said, the host organizing committees, but also people who work at USA Hockey in the volunteer side of the house on the youth council. It seems like it's a great relationship that takes place here.
There really is. There's great synergy. You know, Jody Penn internally in our office is communicating every single day with these hosts and their different committees, whether it's you know, about hotels, about meals, about ceremonies, about timekeeping, and all the details. You know, patches for all the teams that do advance, all those details that go on behind the scenes. And then Norm is the overseer of the entire national championships. We try to support Norm. And then we've got a great group of youth council representatives that are the on-site tournament directors that work hand-in-hand with the local host. So it really is an exemplary system for volunteers. You know, in youth sports, you really don't see the volunteer spirit as much as maybe we did when we were kids. But I think this youth national championship, the girls' women's national championship, and the sled hockey national championship are proof that volunteerism still is alive and well. And, you know, hats off to these people that have worked on this for 2 years to prepare this. And like you said, as soon as when the championship game is the final buzzer goes and the kids all go home and the families all go home back to their hometowns, the volunteers' job isn't over. They recap their event, they file reports so that the next group of volunteers that wants to host that same age group or host nationals in the future can learn from them, and they'll have things in writing, reports that are filed. So for merchandise, for instance, they'll be able to reference previous hosts and say, hey, we had 48 teams, we sold this many hoodies, this many t-shirts, this many golf shirts, and they can learn from that to better serve the kids and the families that do advance to nationals in the future. So that's why this thing has continued to improve, I believe, every single year. Under Norm's leadership and Dave Klasnick's leadership, Larry Thomas even before that, is that the system that's in place so that everybody can learn from previous operators or previous hosts, so that it's lower risk and more guaranteed success for the people that are running the event and also the people that participate.
No doubt. Well, I think the thing that anybody out there listening to know about these volunteers is that they all have full-time jobs, and when you see them at these events, you see how much time and dedication they bring to the event. It's amazing that these people have families, they have full-time jobs, they have other outside interests, but they are what really what makes hockey the greatest game out there. Kevin, can you just I would imagine when all these players and all these families come to town, it's also a huge economic boom for the community. And so obviously there's a lot of work that goes involved, but it also is it's a good thing for the community to get their name out there, but also it helps in the economy, especially in these trying times.
Well, I think that's what some of these towns and cities have really realized, is that bringing an event like this is a big shot in the arm economically. A lot of these hosts receive support and some backing from the Visitors Bureau or the you know, the local business community, because you know, there are a ton of hotel rooms rented, restaurants, car rentals, entertainment places, sightseeing places that, you know, these teams take advantage of when they are on site. And I think the Visitors Bureau have really realized that this is good business. And maybe a time of year that's not really peak vacation time. It's kind of a tweener between spring break and the end of the school year. Some places, you know, they need that shot in the arm. And I think especially in the north, the hockey areas, this is a great opportunity to bring a bunch of people to town and take advantage and drive some economy in that local community.
No doubt. It's also good for these kids. I mean, these kids are some of the best hockey players in the country, and obviously they're playing for pride, they're playing for their community, they're playing for their club and their association. But they're also it's also a good avenue for them to be seen by not only I would imagine college coaches and pro coaches and things of that nature.
For sure. you know, it's a great opportunity to showcase your talents, your abilities. I mean, scouts are smart. Obviously, if you make it to the national championship tournament, they know that you're some of the top players in the country in your birth year. So, you know, we'll see junior scouts there. We will see college scouts and NHL Central Scouting. I know for sure they've contacted me. They're going to be there. So great opportunity for kids to showcase what they can do versus the best other kids in the country.
No doubt. And I know that youth hockey, our national championships have been going on for decades, and so it would be hard to rattle off everybody, but just off the top of your head, can you mention a couple of players who participated at nationals who have gone on to have NHL careers?
Yeah, I mean, just to name a few, you know, Phil Kessel, Zach Parise, even Sidney Crosby, Jack Johnson, Eric Johnson, Jonathan Quick. Just to name a few, those are some of the guys that I think, you know, we've all seen at national championships over the years. And it's always exciting to go to nationals and to see who might be next. Everybody can, you know, project in their own mind or what they see today, but it's always fun to see players that come from nowhere or maybe these non-traditional hockey markets and say, wow, what does that kid's future hold? Because, you know, obviously some of these kids really pop at nationals and are very impressive. And it's always exciting to be heading to nationals in a day or two, with that anticipation, like who's it going to be now? Who's the next one?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. There's some great players. Well, I remember being with you at the 2003 nationals in Laurel, Maryland, where word was getting around that there's this kid named Sidney Crosby playing for Shattuck St. Mary's, and by the time the puck dropped on the game, I mean, the people were about three people deep along the glass just to get a sense, and obviously he didn't disappoint, but of course he had a great team with him. He had Drew Stafford and Jack Johnson and Ryan Duncan and several others. So
yeah.
there's always great players, there's always great teams, and so like you said, it's always a fun time of year.
Absolutely. It's exciting. I remember that day, I think I had about 103 temperature and I was doing color on a broadcast, but I wasn't going to miss that game because of all the hype, and we knew the players that were in the game were going to go into great, great heights in hockey.
No doubt. Well, Kevin, not everybody can, unfortunately, be in some of these host cities, whether it's Amherst or New York or Wayne, New Jersey, or all these other, Reston, Virginia, all these great places. Is there a way that they can kind of still follow the tournament, whether it's the internet or anything like that?
Yeah, we're not quite to the stature of the Little League World Series yet, even though that is one of our goals, is to get us broadcast on TV. But it's just one of the advances that, you know, taking advantage of technology advances over the years. The great thing is now every one of our games will be broadcast, or every one of our sites will be broadcasting games on Fast Hockey. You can find that at usahockey.com and follow the link on Fast Hockey. And for just a couple of bucks, you can watch games from every site and see some of the up-and-comers in hockey and maybe future NHLers. It's an awesome opportunity if your family can't make it, or if you're just interested in hockey and you want to see some of these games from the national championships. It's easy to follow. It's easy to watch on your computer. And from home, no matter where you are around the world, you can check it out.
Absolutely. And then as far as like stats and feature stories and things like that, USAHockey.com does a great job of keeping up with the tournament too, don't they?
On USAHockey.com, our tournament tool is phenomenal, and that's all that information is uploaded on site within 30 minutes of the conclusion of the game. A lot of them will do it live, but minimum 30 minutes at conclusion of the game, all the stats will be updated, leading scores, leading goaltenders, game results, everything that you could possibly be looking for is available at usahockey.com, and that's come a long way over the years as well. And it's pretty unbelievable to think that so many games are being played across the country at so many different cities, and all that information is available at your fingertips just at usahockey.com.
No doubt. And according to Cameron Eckmeyer, who oversees the material side of the website, there's more people who log on to USAHockey.com during national championships than they do during the Olympics, which is pretty staggering to think of that.
Yeah, he said that there will be over 1 million individual viewers that visit USAHockey.com in the national tournament section this coming week, which is pretty amazing when you think about it. And he said there'd be between 3 and 5 million views of that. So of those 1 million unique users, they'll come back, you know, 3 to 5 times. So it's phenomenal when you think about it, the traffic that drives that comes to that site for that information.
Oh, it sure is, sure is. Well, anyway, it's a great event. I can't wait to be to take off, head up to Amherst, New York, to watch the Tier Ones, and you know, every year Nationals just gets better. Every time you go to one, it's you think it's that it can't the bar can't get raised any higher, and it always does. And I think that's due in large part to your leadership and the hard work that's put in both this office, as well as within the Youth Council and then the host organizing committee. So I hope you have a good time watching the Nationals. But before I go, I guess just leave you with one last, anything else you'd like to add to this?
Well, one of the things that I'm really excited about this week is to watch our 12 and under Nationals. This is the first time with our new playing rule and the full body checking not being the focus, and instead we've adjusted our rules to encourage body contact and the increased body contact that we hope we see. These very skilled young players playing with body contact rules instead of the full blow-up body checking. So I'm excited to see the Tier 1 and the Tier 2 peewees play under that rule. With that said, this is the last year of the 12 and under national championship, so it's going to be really interesting to evaluate that and see where it goes. So I'm excited to see that and the impact that has on the play at that level.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt. Well, it'll be a great hockey from top to bottom, Tier 1, Tier 2, all the girls' events, like you mentioned, the sled hockey. I mean, it's a great time of year at USA Hockey, and this is our marquee event. And so once again, thanks for joining us today, and thanks to everybody out there for tuning in.
Thank you, Harry.
Thanks for listening, and tune in later this week for more podcasts from the USA Hockey Youth National Championships.